Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'm so glad we're here at Healing Class. We've been doing this, Janet and I have been doing this for 27 years. And I still love every part of it. And just for a little intro for you guys, Janet, I've worked with Janet for so long. She is a veteran at this, wonderful at receiving healing, just an anomaly in her own life that she has been able to receive healing through the years for everything, and God has helped her and healed her, so she's going to be able to teach you faith, and you'll really learn some different things. We're going to come at the scriptures from different ways so that God can speak to you each time in the way that you need to hear from Him. So keep your heart open. Derek, he sat in healing class with us years ago, received healing, and now he's teaching it. And I've seen him receive healing over many things. And so he's going to be able to share with you too some things that maybe you hadn't seen before. And then me, I've received healing too, and so you're kind of stuck with me tonight. Are you ready, though? Let's pick up our Bible. Yes, amen is right. And you can say amen. I like those. We usually use a confession here, and we'll say, this is my Bible. It's God's word to me. It strengthens me. It refreshes me. And it's medicine to me. I love to read my Bible. I love to read my Bible. I truly do. I love to read my Bible. So this is a time to, and look, we have a little card here for you. God's word will never fail you. So this is the scripture for this week. You could take home and use it as a card and a memory for you. You can memorize these. So tonight, are you ready? I love it. This whole semester, I really feel that God's going to do something special. I have an expectancy in my heart here concerning healing class and what we're teaching on. We're going to teach from the same passage, so you're going to get it in so many different angles. I have studied this for years and years and years, and still learning today. So I'm just very excited to share with you some things. Now, as we take this passage of Jairus and the woman that was hemorrhaging, we see it in three different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Three different perspectives, it's so interesting, as they saw it. So they add different details, so I'll fill in what's maybe not in the one passage we're going to read. I'm going to read from the book of Matthew tonight about this, okay? And I really feel like I want to share with you about the faith. Jesus, in this passage, responds to the faith that he sees in Jairus, who is a ruler of the synagogue, and in this little woman that we don't even have a name for, and I can't wait to meet her when we get to heaven. She doesn't have a name, but she's very important to the Lord, and he tends to her. And so I want you to see the response of faith they have and how they make room for God to be able to move. But before that, let's talk about faith. What is faith? I thought I knew everything about it, but I'm always learning too. And that's why we keep our heart open. Faith comes from a Hebrew word called emunah, E-M-U-N-A-H. And what that word actually means is it's your steadfastness, it's your loyalty, it's a life just dedicated to relying and depending on the Lord. Faith. But what's so interesting about that word is it's more about what you're doing than what you're knowing. And the reason why that is, so I can know about some things, but it's what I do. Because part of that definition of faith is an action. faith is an action. So faith does something. I honestly, for a long time, thought faith is just what I know. I can understand it. But when it really gets in us, when we have faith, we're actually acting. It's a firm action. I think of that like I'm standing firm and I'm ready to do something. I'm ready to fight something. Faith. Well, it can be interchanged with the word what I believe in or what I trust in. Trust. But guess what? The root word of trust is in emunah, the Hebrew word, which is E-M-U-N. That's the root word of trust. So faith requires a trust in us that leads us to want to obey and act upon it. So you could see how they all work together. And we're going to see all of this in this passage here. I think it's so interesting. Faith is a knowing, too, that's rooted in experience. It's something that's very, has to be tangible, or I would like to say kinesthetic in our life. Think about it this way. If you were to eat a strawberry, anybody had strawberries? Everybody eat strawberry? What if you're trying to describe to someone who has never eaten a strawberry what it tastes like? It's got seeds, it's kind of crunchy, it is a fruit, it's kind of sweet, it could be, maybe not. How do I describe to someone what a strawberry, they have to experience it, right? You got to taste this and then you'll know what a strawberry is. As you begin to trust God, rely on Him as a lifestyle and begin to grow really strong in that, which you can, because faith can grow. It's measured. It can grow. And I love that it can grow. So if you have none, you can get some. If you have a little bit, it can grow stronger. And if it's kind of in a, you know, different place, it could actually get to where it's greater. I just love that. And watch and see where God brings you by the end of this semester. I've been praying, and I've been praying for you that God's going to show you some things. He's going to talk to you just like He did me, and He still talks to me to this day, even with this passage here and concerning faith. Now, so there was a man in the Bible, the Old Testament, a prophet named Habakkuk. His name means to embrace. That's another visual you could think of for trusting. In Habakkuk 2 verse 4, he says, the just or righteous person will live by his faith. So I live by what and who I trust in and rely on, and you live by your faith. You live by your faith. But what's encouraging is your faith can grow. Your faith can get stronger. If we live by our faith, okay, I want to get stronger in that. If Jesus responds to the faith that He sees in us, and don't think you can't have it. I'm telling you, you can have strong faith and strong trust in the Lord. And I just truly believe God, watch what God does. He's going to speak to you here. But faith, again, it has an action. You have to do something. It's more about what you do than what you know. It has an action to it. So as I was thinking about this, here we have James. Look at all these tissues I have up here. I don't have a cold, just a runny nose, actually. But James 2:17, in the NLT, or the New Living Translation, it says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless. Now, some of you may have heard the translation of faith without works is dead. So we can see that. So my faith, what I'm really relying on, I can see it. It's what I do, which makes you think, what do I believe in? Where is my faith? What am I doing? We can back into that too. I like to think of it like this. This is a glove, right? Glove. This is my mom's glove. And it's pretty lifeless, right? Doesn't have much movement. It's lifeless. But if I put my hand in it, it moves. It moves. But if I don't, it's lifeless. Faith has movement. Faith is an act. Faith is something you can do and move on. Maybe you've just known some things, and God's going to get you to the place to where you can do some things. Now, I'm going to share with you tonight the story that you probably were introduced to last week, and that is about a man named Jairus. He's a ruler of a synagogue, so he's pretty prominent in the community, okay? Everybody knows him. We even know his name. So he's going to say something to Jesus. He's going to approach Jesus and say something, and we're going to see his faith. When he starts off in approaching to Jesus, yes, Jesus responds, and he has some faith. As we study on, he's going to need more faith. And God will help him, just like he'll help you. He helps us. He loves us. The Lord is so good. I got to tell you, he wants you free and healed and whole and at peace, emotionally, physically, in every way, more than you want it. Because he really is a compassionate and loving Father. And you can get this. You can get to a place where you absolutely are trusting God, like we see Jairus. And then there's this woman. This is a two-for-one healing here. A little woman in the middle of this, totally poor, has no money at all. She's been sick for a long time. No one can help her. The Bible says she suffered a lot of things from a lot of physicians. We can relate to that sometimes. No one can help you. Jesus did. And we're going to see her faith too. And when you see it, you're going to see that it's very easy, and you can start this week getting stronger in your faith, in your trust, and that's going to help you feel better emotionally, physically, and you'll even know how to pray for those you love too. Okay? God is a healer, and he always will be. He restores our soul, he restores our body, and there's nothing too hard for him at all. He's a compassionate, loving Father to you. And we see that in the person of Jesus Christ, okay? So, before I read the passage, and I'm hoping that I'll have time, I want to read it to you in two different translations. I want to pray, all right? When we read the scriptures, it's life. It's medicine to me. Even if you don't understand it in your mind, do you know that God's words, just me reading the scriptures and you reading the scriptures, they're medicine and life. It's a treatment to you. Think about it. When you take a pill or you take a treatment, do you feel any different at first? And you just believe that whatever treatment the doctor gives you is going to work. God's word will always work. It's life. It's medicine to all of your flesh. And when you even approach it that way, watch and see what God does. So let me pray. Father, I thank you for this time together and everyone here, that the healing medicine in your word, Father, just begins to hover over their lives. And there's a bit more peace, a bit more sense of your healing mercies on their life, your love and compassion, a relief and freedom from pain, oh Father, because it's who you are. And I ask you that each person get the revelation they need and enlightenment they need beyond anything I could say, Father. We honor your word. I thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Matthew 9, I'm going to start with 18. While Jesus spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler, and there's a little typo there. I'm not sure why that was there, but it just kind of happened. While Jesus spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshiped him. Those were words, worshiped him. My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now, let me just stop there for a second. Could you imagine the relief that Jairus felt? That Jesus is going to go to his home. Now he goes to Jesus. There's a big crowd at this time. If you read ahead, there's a big crowd. He gets through this crowd probably because people are stepping aside, because they would make room for someone like Jairus. And he actually gets to Jesus. This is a powerful man. And who knows if anybody in the synagogue knew that he believed in Jesus or knew of his problem. But he publicly, one version says, gets on his knees and he worships God. Not that God needs you to just praise him because he needs someone to praise him. What happens when you worship the Lord is you make him bigger than your problem. And so it gives you the, God, you're big. When he worshiped him, you're great. He must have seen some things that Jesus did. And he thought, maybe he could help me. Now, this version says that his daughter died. The other two gospels said she was right at that point about to die. So she's in a really difficult spot. I mean, this is when the doctor says, go home, call hospice. Here. And he says, could you just please come and lay your hand on my daughter? Now, his faith, because if you do that, she will live. All I need is you. All I need is you, and my daughter will live. His daughter was 12 years old, other versions say. Okay, so now let's see what happens. He's on his way. It's like relieving, like, thank God he's coming. But there's an interruption, and Jesus stops for humanity, like he'll stop for you. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, as old as her daughter, this woman's in pain, as old as his daughter is, comes from behind and touches the hem of his garment. For she says to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made whole or well from that very hour. Now, let's talk about this woman. She doesn't have a name. Nobody's parting the crowd for her at all. But Jesus stops for her, and he will stop for you too. She did matter to him because she was looking basically for a drive-by healing. Let me just touch the garment, which would have been the edge of his, and then I'll be whole. It's very interesting because Jairus is publicly going, I worship you, would you come? Everybody's hearing him. This woman, it says, is talking to herself. If I just touch his garment, I'll be made well. And she senses she's healed. Jesus stops and goes, who's it? Who is it? And when he goes, I want you to be encouraged, daughter, he gets real personal. Like, you don't have to feel like you have to just grab a hold of this and run. I want you to know that I want to give this to you. I want you to be made whole. I want you to be healed. And that's the message he gives this woman that nobody else cared about. She's not even supposed to be in public. Everybody would have shunned her. But Jesus doesn't. That's His heart for you. That's how He feels about you. He wants you to be okay. He can take broken pieces and put them together. He's the one that makes bitter experiences sweet, and that's another definition for healing. I really believe, even if you came in here thinking you were just coming for physical healing, that God can do something on the inside of you, in your soul too, that maybe you didn't know was broken and needed a little help. There's nothing beyond God that He would do for you. He's that good and kind. And my prayer is that you begin to see Him that way and know He loves you. Then you can receive so easily from Him. It's like, you would stop for me. You love me. You care about me. But when He calls her daughter, it's a pretty endearing thing. And He feels that way about you. So, okay, here we go in verse 23. So He finishes with the lady. He doesn't forget Jairus at all. Now, other books talk about a little bit further about Jairus. This one goes a little quicker, so we're just going to go with this version tonight. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, He said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead but sleeping," and they ridiculed Him. But when the crowd was put outside, He went in, took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all the land. Do you know that your faith and trust in God makes room for God to move? He's like, just give me room, but He's going to wait to be invited. And your trust in Him invites Him into your life to do a miracle that nobody else could do for you. But to think of your faith and trust as making room for God, I just love that whole picture and visual there. Okay, I'm going to read it in another version, all right? You don't have this version, but it's got some different words. And one way to study healing is read different versions of something until you begin to really understand it. You know, some are paraphrases, so I like to read all different ones, but this one, the New Living, I think is so interesting how it reads. So just listen, let your heart receive this translation of the scriptures. Remember, this is a medicine to you, better than any kind of treatment you can have. Matthew 9. As Jesus was saying this, the leader of a synagogue came and knelt before Him. "My daughter has just died," he said, "but you can bring her back to life again if you just come and lay your hand on her." So Jesus and His disciples got up and went with Him. Just then, a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind Him. She touched the fringe of His robe, for she said, actually, that's the better translation, and thought, "If I can just touch His robe, I will be healed." Jesus turned around, and when He saw her, He said, "Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith, trust in Me, has made you well." And the woman was healed at that moment. Now, when Jesus arrived at the official's home, He saw the noisy crowd and heard the funeral music. "Get out," He told them. "The girl isn't dead. She's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at Him. After the crowd was put outside, however, Jesus went in, took the girl by the hand, and she stood up. The report of this miracle swept through the entire countryside. I think it's interesting. What about this translation here? Now, my New King James, that "make room for the Lord," I believe there's a message there. In this one, it's so interesting because the enemy and people that, you know, you really have to put a boundary with, they play funeral music for you. Interesting. He could hear the funeral music. Have you ever gone to the doctors or had situations in life and you're like, I hear the funeral music? I've played it in my own life sometimes, but that is not a sound from the Lord. No matter what's happened to you, no matter what you've been diagnosed with, the funeral music is not from the Lord. It's not over with for you. All you have to do is trust Him, and you can. And I'm going to show you how simple and easy this is. Where we see their faith is in their words. Your body doesn't even have to move very much. You can start putting action to your trust with your words. All you have to do is to begin to speak God's words. You begin to speak God's words that have life and medicine in the middle of a dark situation, a negative situation, a diseased situation. You make room for God to move. And miracles happen right there. It's so simple and easy, we can miss it. But we see their faith in their words. Jairus, public, the woman on the inside. Now, we see about words in the Old Testament and New. But Deuteronomy 30:14 is one that really caught my heart. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. The word is near you. To get that word in you and near you, it needs to be in your mouth. And what happens, it begins to register in your heart and you begin to do it. And that's your faith, and that's a place that God begins to move right there. Okay, very interesting. I think it's interesting. If you don't think it's interesting, I'm sorry. But there was a doctor called Dr. Emoto from Japan, and he decided to do some studies with water and words. So interesting. So he spoke words over water, and then he froze them to see, does it do anything? He spoke positive words. This is a true study. He spoke positive words over water and froze it, and it made beautiful crystals. I saw these beautiful crystals. He spoke negative words, like, I hate you, I'm sick, or anything like that, and it had fragmented, distorted images. Well, guess what? We are 60% water. Don't you think God's words can change the composition in our body? You speak healing words enough and we're 60% water. If it could happen in a study like that, it can happen with us. And I want to encourage you, speak God's words no matter what you're going through. That's an act of faith. Now, to strengthen your faith and your heart in God, you have to know how much He cares for you. He is a compassionate Father. He tenderly, tenderly loves you. And you can trust Him. You trust people that you feel like really love you. Now, I understand a lot of us have people that you're like, I did trust them. And I thought they loved me. And they didn't. And that happens. And I am sorry if that happened to you. I truly am. But that's never God. Don't ever assign that to who God is. He is trustworthy. You can trust Him. All the days of your life, you can trust Him. He will be there for you. Now, how I began helping myself along these lines is, and you probably heard me say it, is it was years ago, I went to Proverbs 3:5. And I began, is it 3:5? I think it's 3:5. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Okay, got it right. Proverbs 3:5 says, I personalize it. I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. I'll not lean on my own understanding. And I just say it. I began timing myself. I'll say it for 5 minutes. I'll say it for 10 minutes. I'll say, I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. I'll not lean on my own understanding. So I began saying it, wrote, and then it began a prayer of mine, and the staff will tell you. I'm like, okay, we're going to say this. Are you ready? We're going to get our faith stronger. I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. Then it becomes like a form of worship for me where I'm like, thank you so much that I can trust in you with all my heart, and I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to lean on my understanding. When we lean and try to depend on what we can figure out or somebody else can figure out, that's where worry and anxiety and all kinds of irritations come, because you can't figure it out. But if you don't have to figure it out, if all you have to do is trust in Him, then saying, I trust in you, Lord, is enough. I don't know what in life it doesn't answer. I've tried it. You get a call and you're like, oh, fear wants to come. I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. I don't have to try to figure this out. I just know I trust in you. You hear bad news. You watch the news. You're like, ooh, it's really bad. I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. I don't have to try to figure this out. You go to the doctor and it got worse. You're like, but I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. I'll not lean on my own understanding. You're growing and strengthening your faith. You're putting doing in your life, action, movement, God bless you, movement to your faith. And that's where God can move. It's almost like inviting Him in. Isn't that neat? But it's not just, and sometimes I'd say it out loud or just where I could whisper it. It's not just what you project out like we see J. Iris do. It's what you say on the inside. The poor little woman who had a healing from hemorrhaging, she's saying within herself, I just got to touch Him and I'll be healed. I just got to touch Him and I'll be healed. It's what you say to yourself and in yourself. It does matter. It does matter, because we live by that. Let me show you a verse here that's so interesting. Psalm 15, verse 1 and 2. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle, and who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks or murmurs truth in his heart. Murmurs truth. Murmur like this low grumbling sound. Murmur. But are you murmuring truth? Do we know what a murmur is? What is my heart echoing? What do I echo? What do I say on the inside of me about myself, about God, about the situation? I was telling Matthew, I said, I remember a time when Kylie, this is my daughter-in-law, and our first grandchild was Kylie. And I think when their second baby was born, they had asked Kylie to come downstairs and do something. And she was like, okay. But I happened to be standing right by her. And she was like, she was growling. She was growling. And that's, you're murmuring something. We do it, we learn it when we're young. We don't even realize, I got a murmur in me. I may say something positive here, but on the inside, figures that would happen. I always get the short end of the stick. Things never work out for me. If that's the echoes, the murmurs in your heart, you got to change that. Because faith and the things of God are voice activated. God needs your voice. Siri doesn't work if you don't talk to it right. And you got to speak these words, but they can't be the murmuring afterwards in your heart, an echo, which is echoing or reflecting a sound. What sounds are coming from your heart? This really happened. I was in healing class, in 1993. And Keith Moore was actually teaching. And the room was full. And he walks down the aisle like this, and he says, "So, with whatever you're dealing with, try to answer this question. What's going to happen to you?" At that time, in my heart, I went, "I have absolutely no idea." He walks back up and he says, "We don't have it yet. We have to get stronger." I was like, "Did he just hear what I said?" How did he know that? But do you know, in the week's time, God spoke to me. I went, "I've had this murmur in me, Lord, of that I can't get through this. But I'm going to begin to believe that you can get me through this." And actually, I got in faith to receive and begin to get stronger from that point. The murmurs of our heart, what are we saying on the inside of us? So, and one of the things that you can do is worship. Worship strengthens our hand in God. Strengthens us. You too, you're making God bigger than the problem. Bigger than what you're going through. And it really confuses the enemy, which is, I love to do that. I'm like, if you're going to mess with me, I'm going to mess with you. And I'm just going to start to praise God in the middle of this. Watch me praise the Lord. Thank you, God, I can trust in you. Thank you that you're merciful and you forgive me when I don't do it right. Thank you that you're compassionate and you care about me and you know this whole thing and you can figure it out, even though it looks all tangled and I don't know what to do. He does know what to do. And I believe you can bring relief to my soul and relief to my body too. You can do what nobody else could do. And you long to and want to. And I trust that. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Worship. So let me tell you about a man named Abraham. In Romans 4, it talks about a man named Abraham. You may have heard about him. God told him he's going to have a child. He's like, okay, great. But he's 100 years old. And he's like, 100, how's that supposed to work? Which we have situations, you're like, do you know what's happening? How on earth is this going to work? And by the way, Sarah's 90. She never had children when she could. How's that supposed to work? But Abraham doesn't consider that. So he doesn't separate himself. That was what that word waver. He didn't waver from what God promised him through unbelief. He didn't separate himself out. He actually strengthened his grip. How did he do that? By giving glory to God. When you worship God and thank him and praise him, you strengthen your heart and your hand in God. And that's one of the things we can start to do. You could do it at nighttime by yourself. Thank you, Lord. I love you and I trust you. You're strengthening grip in your hand in God. I like that visual. I like visuals. I think it's so interesting. When I look up a visual about faith, it's usually of somebody like falling off a cliff and someone like trying to get them. And I'm like, but the thing is with God, when we have faith and we trust in him, there's no gap. He grabs hold of us and pulls us out of disease, pulls us out of the most despairing, depressing situations, pulls us out of discouragement. His hand, he's a strong hand. Do you know he never lets go of us? We let go. He will never let go of us. And remember, this is a loving hand. A hand that loves you. Remember what J.I. Ivers said, just lay your hand on her and she'll be well. I just need your hand. And you know what's real sweet? In one translation, we'll read in the other chapters, when he raises the little girl up, he takes her by the hand. Let me take your hand and pull you up. And then he also knows that she's going to need strength. He says in another version, give her something to eat. Do you know sometimes you'll start to come up and out of sickness, out of depression? But you still have to eat and gain some strength. Don't let that discourage you. Jesus knew she needs to eat. Give her something to eat. She's going to gain her strength. Doesn't mean you don't have your healing. Just got to get strong. That's all. The hand. When I was in the hospital, I loved Isaiah 41:13. It was like, you hold me by my right hand. And you'll say to me, don't be afraid, I'm going to help you. I wonder if that's not a word of the Lord to anyone here tonight. I'll hold your hand. I'll be there for you. I'll bring you through. When God holds your hand, he holds you tight. And he will bring you through. Now, as I was praying this afternoon, I kind of had a funny thought about the hand. I always think, your hand, Lord, I love your hand, you hold my hand. I've sometimes heard people say that they went through something difficult and they're mad at God. Can I encourage you? God bless you. If you've been that, don't be mad at God. And this is the little visual that came to me. I had worked with special needs kids in California, and from 0 to 18. And I had this cute little girl. She was sweet as could be, just a little one. And she had some autism. And so I'm holding her hand, and we're just like really happy, like just, you know, having fun. And I'm just holding her hand, not thinking about it. And then she bites the heck out of my hand. I was like, oh, you blew. I didn't know you could be so dangerous. I don't want to hold your hand. I'm like, I can't believe just did that. I was trying to help you. Why would you do that to me? And it just came to me, when you're mad at God, you're biting the hand of the one who loves you. You're biting the hand of the one who cares for you. Don't be mad at God. Hold his hand lovingly. Put your hand in his. Put your trust in God. He loves you more than anybody else. He'll heal you, he'll bring you through, and you don't have to figure it out at all. He loves you. Now, when I was in California too, I had an aunt out there, my Aunt Angie. And I would go visit her when I had a couple of hours off or just one child. And the thing I remember about my Aunt Angie was the love that she had in her marriage. Everybody knew about it. In fact, she gave me her wedding band right before she died. And I always remembered how they loved each other. Do you know how I knew they loved each other? He would always go to hold her hand. Everywhere they were all, and she would hold his hand very lovingly. You finish dinner, they're holding hands. They're sitting on the couch, they're holding hands. They're watching TV, they're holding hands. Real loving. Hold the hand of God. His hand is a loving hand, a mighty hand that can pull you through and guide you through anything too. And just lovingly let him, make room for him. So God is doing something in your life now. Beginning tonight, his hand is stretched out. Grab hold and let's trust him more, okay? Father, I thank you for tonight and everyone here, that you speak to them, that when they sleep, Father, they wake up with some sense of relief and peace in their heart. And this week coming and in these weeks of this healing class, Father, we make room for you, and you move in the most miraculous way. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.